Welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. I'm Bella Gandhi, the founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host. I started Smart Dating Academy in 2009 because I had this crazy knack of giving people dating advice that actually worked, that I took. I've been married for almost 25 years, and now my company helps people to date smarter and to find love. This podcast is meant to bring more love into your life, no matter where you are and what you do. And we're here to bring more life into your love. Smart daters, welcome back to this week's episode of the podcast. You guys, this is one I've been waiting for a long time. And I am so excited to introduce to you Kendra Allen. I was on Kendra's podcast a couple of weeks ago. And I'm going to let her tell you how many kids she has. She had just given birth like 6 minutes before we recorded for her podcast. She's an unbelievable human being and totally gorgeous too. I don't know how somebody looks so good after just having a couple of kids, but Kendra is going to talk to us today about breakups and healing from breakups. For if you don't know who she is, she's a breakup coach. She's the host of the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast, author of the Breakup Workbook, which I'm going to buy right after this podcast is over, and founder of Breakup Bestie. So Kendra, thank you so much for being here today. I'm so excited to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. That was such a nice intro too. So I'm very flattered and so excited that we can finally do this. There's been a few postponements, but very happy we're here.
How old are your kids now? Tell us.
Almost three. So I have almost 3 month old twin boys and then almost 2.5 year old boy. So I'm just swimming in children right now.
Oh my God. All boys, all three?
All boys. Yeah. All okay. Boys.
You're coated in testosterone from A to Z.
Yeah, no, thank God my dog's a girl, because that's really the only reprieve I have in that regard.
Girl, as a mom of a now 16 and 20-year-old, I know what those days were like. And I think I told you this, it gets better. It's a little boot campy right now, but yeah. You look gorgeous. And
thank you.
I'm just so glad you're here. So tell us how you got into this work, and then let's dive into helping people get through these heartbreaks.
Yes. My favorite thing to talk about. But I got into it, as you can imagine, it was from a breakup. I went through a series of really unhealthy relationships in like my late teens, early 20s. One was with someone who had narcissistic personality disorder when I was 18 to 21. He was 12 years older than me. Smothered in red flags. So that was a horrible relationship. I was in that for 3 years. Okay. And then just kind of jumped into this series of relationships with emotionally unavailable people. The term we would use now is situationship. That wasn't a term back then. So kind of jumped into that. And around the same time, I am in recovery from alcohol and drugs. And so I got sober very luckily when I was 21. So it's been almost 11 and a half years now for me. And that I remember when I got sober, I thought my relationship life would just get so much better, but it didn't. And so I went through a really devastating breakup in 2015. It was my first sober breakup. And I really wanted to, it was the first time that my whole relationship history just hit me all at once. So it was a very layered breakup. And so I really took the next year to dive into what does it mean to actually go through a breakup? Because I didn't feel like I had ever really gone through one. I just hopped around from one thing to another. So,
and you can numb things, right?
I mean, yes, through a variety, through a variety of things. Yeah. So it was either, so that was the first time where it was, I'm not going to numb this. I'm going to walk through it. So I went to therapy. Anytime someone mentioned a book, I would pick it up. I journaled. I went on different trips. I asked women to coffee who I knew that had gone through divorces. So I really just took the year to soak up what does it mean to go through a breakup. And that morphed into friends of friends asking me for advice. I kind of became the go-to friend just in my circle of of breakup healing. And then I said, okay, I want to start writing about it just to, you know, flush out what I've learned. And so I started writing, and that turned into a blog and an Instagram. And then it's just evolved from there. So I'm so lucky that I've been able to do this for my work. And it's been something that I started the Instagram back in 2017. So it's been almost 7 years now that I've been doing this work.
Wow, that's amazing. And I love so many of the best practitioners. I think it doesn't necessarily have to come from formal education, but it's healing ourselves. And when you have walked through that tunnel of fire, you understand it because you have great empathy towards what it feels like. And I give you that 2015 you a giant hug. That's so hard. And when you sometimes we rely on our friends and family, right? Mm-hmm. During those times, and they don't know necessarily what to say, what to do, or how to get us through it. They only know their own experience. So I love that you gleaned all of this information, read all of these books, and then became a professional source for people.
Yeah. And I, you know, as you'll hear in, you know, the things that I say through the rest of the interview, it was really important to me that it was very practical advice. Like you said, it was either stuff you got from friends or you just would try Googling something, but there wasn't a lot of really practical advice. It was, you know, really moody quotes that people would say, which are, you know, nice to read, but they don't tell you to do anything. So I've always been very action oriented in that way. So I wanted to be different in that space.
Oh, I love that. So, well, let's dive into this and get all that information that you have taught so many people out there, because I know so many of our listeners are dating, but still probably processing the hurt over their last breakup or their last divorce. Or maybe there's a listener who's listening to this that is like, I know I'm in a bad relationship, but the thought of being single and going through the pain of healing is going to be too much. So I think let's talk to all these people. They might be teenagers. They might be young adults. They might be fully grown prefrontal cortex adults. So what are the very first steps to get through the beginning of a breakup?
Yeah. I think that's the thing everyone wants to know is where do I even start? I also just want to say to the people that are dating, but also going through a breakup, just remember that those things can exist simultaneously. You don't have to be completely over a breakup to begin dating again. I think people really believe a lot of things have to be black or white. And there's a lot of gray area with that. So I just know I get that question a lot with, can I do both at the same time? But when it comes to the beginning of a breakup, the first thing that I mention in my book, in my courses, is rally the troops. You have to let people know that you're going through a breakup. And even a step further from that, you need to let people know that you're in pain and you're struggling from the breakup. If you're anything like me, that's not an easy thing to do, to say, hey, I need someone to come over, whether you send a group text out and say, this just happened, I need someone to come over, or I need to go over to your house. So you got to let people know where you are. I think that's tremendously important in the beginning, because you're not going to be able to stand on your own two feet at that time. And that's okay. It's a very shock, especially if it's a breakup that came out of nowhere. It's very shocking. The rug's pulled out from underneath you. You need people that are going to help hold you up during that time. So I think establishing your support system from the beginning is really important.
I love that. And I want to leapfrog on something that you just said about rallying the troops. One of the things I like to do in that time, whether you're the giver or the receiver, right? Let's say you're the person that's been broken up with, and you're rallying your elevator people, the people that elevate you, your village. It's okay for you to say, I need you to come over, bring some ice cream, and we're just going to watch a movie. I don't even need
to talk. Tell people what you need, because people aren't mind readers. Your troops, as you say, rally them, but then it's okay to give them specific instructions, because if you tell your best friend to come over and she's like, don't worry about this, we hated him from the get-go, he was a loser, that might not be what you want to hear at that moment. Say
probably
what
it's not
you
the
need.
Right thing.
Yeah. Say what you need.
I agree 100%. And I get messages from people who will say, I don't feel like I have a support system. And that's what I ask. Have you given them feedback on what you need? Because you might need someone who is not going to talk to you about the breakup. It's just going to come over and exist next to you, which is something. And just to combat loneliness, that's huge. So yes, give very specific advice. And if you're listening to this and you have someone in your life who's going through a breakup, you can also say, how can I best support you? What would you like from me? And that's how we get help. No one's going to be able to help you perfectly in a breakup.
No.
Because everyone's different.
100%. One of my favorite things to ask people, it's like, what kind of a friend do you need right now? Do you want me to be I want to hear your vent. Do you want advice? Do you want, like, tell me? And when you feel free to ask that, if you don't know what your distressed friend needs, ask the question, because they will tell you.
Yeah.
They may not know to tell you because they're traumatized and they're hurt and they're sad and they're saying, come over. So I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that also goes for a question I get a lot too is, what if my friend is like, we're going to go out and I'm going to find you, like, let's go meet new guys or new girls or whatever that looks like. You can also tell them, I am nowhere near ready for that. I don't want to do that. You know, there's no, just because a friend is trying to help you in their way, you don't have to go along with it. You can tell them right away what you need.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's such common, it's such a common thing to do, or to advise people to do, is like, oh, just go out and find someone else, Mr. Right Now, to take your mind off of that person. Do you have advice around that?
So the thing that I always just like to tell people is, if you are numbing away the breakup, it doesn't disappear. It just gets suppressed, and it will come back at some point. And it might not be during your breakup time. It could be in a future relationship. It could. And it's, I just think when you push things down, you further lose control as to how it's going to come out. So that's when you get things coming out kind of sideways, where you have a disproportionate reaction to something happening, or, you know, you find yourself later on not feeling very trustworthy of people that you're dating. So just know that you're just kicking the can down the road, and it might feel good now, but you have to remember that there will be repercussions later on.
Oh yeah, that's great advice. Let's talk about the no contact rule and what that is, and why is that good for us in healing?
It's so funny, when I started talking about the no contact rule, it's really become the thing that I've been known to talk about. And I'm so glad. And I will preface this by saying, I have thousands of DMs from people talking about how it's worked for them. Mm-hmm. So the no contact rule for me, I related a lot to actually my process of getting sober. And I think there's a lot of parallels between getting over a partner and getting sober from a substance. And the more people I've interviewed on the podcast, experts in neuroscience and all of that, it's so similar brain-wise, like physiologically, that the two are very similar. It's, you're getting over an addiction. A lot of people are addicted to partners. So you have to go through this detoxing process. And I see so many people who stay in contact with their ex and they're just never able to fully get over them. So the no contact rule is you don't have any contact with your ex. You don't talk to them. You don't text with them. You don't see them, because every time you do that, you almost have to think of starting this detox process all over again. Your brain has to adjust to this person not being in your life. You have to, if we think about all the little habits that come from being in a relationship, you have to break all those tiny little habits down to when you get off from work and you're driving home, you have to call someone new because you normally would call your ex. So you have to form all these new neural pathways. You have to form all these new habits. And it's just so much harder when you are in contact with your ex, and it just complicates the breakup in so many ways. And there's a reason why so many people break up, get back together, break up, get back together. It's because they're trying to act like they're still in the relationship, even though they're not.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And in your experience, what do you think of on again, off again relationships? We break up, we get back together, we break up. I feel like I'm going to go into a Taylor Swift song.
So I guess I'll broaden the question. Like, I do believe that people can break up and get back together. I think some people would assume that I would say it's never okay to get back together with an ex. That's not what I'm saying. I think on again, off again relationships typically don't work, because if you just know that you're in this cycle, you can honestly get very addicted to it, because it is so exciting to get back together with an ex. It's like this, the first time you have sex again and all that. It's just so much going on that you can get really addicted to that, and you break up and you're like, oh, it's fine, we're going to get back together. So no work's being done in that. I think if people break up, they completely break up not thinking they're going to get back together, and then the universe kind of brings them back together after they've both healed on their own and have gotten over the breakup on their own and have made changes and can come back together, that's one thing. But if you're just doing this dance of on again, off again, I think you're just chasing the high of it. And I just can't foresee anyone taking steps to change in order to make it work for real.
I love that. So we go cold turkey, no contact, block, delete, out.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I know it. And, you know, for people listening who share children and all of that, there are obviously times when that is not possible. You do have to co-parent with an ex. And so I encourage people to make their own version of the no contact rule. If you work with your ex, don't text them after work. It's keep it to emails and just in office interactions. If you have kids with them, keep it to just contact about the kids. If it starts drifting into more personal conversation, set a boundary in that sense. So if you can't follow it 100%, try to make your own version of that. It's just boundaries, really.
Yeah, absolutely. This is so awesome. And talk to me about social media and breakups.
I just think back to what it would have been like to go through a breakup 30, 40 years ago when there was no social media. It was, if you share friends with them, you might see them out and about, but you did not have the access that we have now to what they're eating for breakfast, the workout they're doing, the new people that they're meeting. We just have access to so much information on people, and it just makes it so much easier to obsess about your ex. And you're already obsessing about your ex. So if you give any fuel to that fire, which social media is huge fuel to that fire, huge. You can spend so much time and energy. I mean, I know people who, even if their ex's profile is private, they'll keep track of how many people they're following. And if there's a new person added, they just go down this rabbit hole of who is it? Did they meet someone new? You know, it's just, it's so easy to overanalyze that. And the thing with social media, I think that's most dangerous about breakups, is we forget that social media is the highlight reel. So if you're following your ex and it looks like they're happy and you're at home devastated, feel like you can't get out of bed, it's going to make you feel so much worse, because there's just such this huge gap of feelings, and we forget that your ex is posting their highlight reel and you're comparing that to how you're feeling on the inside. And that's just not a good place to be in. So I really recommend that you disconnect from social media. I mean, it's also a great time to take a total social media break if needed. There's a lot of things on social media when you're going through a breakup that are hard to see, where you see other couples, other people getting engaged or people having babies. It can be really hard to be inundated with that. So definitely disconnect from your ex. The mute button is great. No one knows if you mute them. And people will say, well, what about friends who post about my ex? You can mute everyone. You know, I'd say like use that feature very heavy-handedly, so that way you're not running into things that your ex is doing on a regular basis.
So you can mute people, and this is for our Gen Z clients. So you can mute Snapchat, TikTok, Instagram without unfollowing that person, because to your point, if you're Gen X boomer, you're like, who the hell cares about social media? I wouldn't even know, right? I'm not going to know if someone unfriends me or unfollows me. I have two Gen Z kids that have shown me apps, put them on my phone, where I can see who's unfollowed me. That started to hurt my feelings when I would look at like, oh my God, why did so-and-so unfollow me? I got rid of that app. I'm like, this is sucking my soul, and it's just making me feel bad on a daily basis. So is there a way so you can mute on all of these apps without unfollowing somebody? Because now that I know that there are unfollow apps, it's like, I may not want to see someone, but I don't want them to be like, oh my God, why did Bella unfollow me?
Yes. Yeah. So you can mute. And what I tell people is that way, you could look if you really wanted to, but at least it's on your own terms. You're not just going to open your app and just be thrown your ex in your face. So I would definitely utilize the mute feature. I mean, all of this really comes down to a breakup is going to make you obsess about your ex.
Yeah.
Even if, and I want to remind you, even if you know your ex and you were not meant to be together, even if your ex was not a good person and you can see very clearly why you're not together, it's still just going to make you feel very obsessive. So you just want to remove anything that's going to increase that, because you're already going to be reminded about your ex multiple times throughout the day. So by getting rid of the things that you might encounter on social media, things around your house, just anything that you can clear away that will make you obsess less, the better.
Yeah, I agree. And to your point, a great friend of mine is Dr. Helen Fisher, you know, one of the best anthropologists and love researchers. And what you were saying about addiction and love just so like gave me goosebumps, because Helen has put people in fMRI chambers and looked at the brains of people that are in love and says the same parts of their brain when they're madly in love light up as people that are using cocaine or addicted to cocaine. So this is such a good reminder that when you remove the drug or the person, your brain still wants that, and it will obsess and ruminate. But the best thing to do is you got to go cold turkey, get it out of the house. If you're trying to sober up, you're not going to have six bottles of your favorite wine sitting on your counter.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. That's what they say. They say the brain will literally look for that person. Where are they? Where are they? Where's my source of dopamine and oxytocin and serotonin? I need that. So you do need to take that out of the picture. And yes, it hurts. It's so hard in the beginning. That's why you're going to feel some physical pain. There's research behind that now as to the body's physiological response to a breakup. So you're going to be feeling it, but it's going to make it pass so much quicker. And the biggest thing that I hear about from people who are no contact is a decrease in anxiety, because if you are just constantly waiting for when am I going to hear from them? And then you hear from them and then you're thinking, what should I say back? How quickly should I reply? Then I say this, and what if they're not going to reply back? It's just, you're going to go in that spiral, and you're going to spend all of your energy too on thinking about when you're going to hear from them next or see them next, instead of using that energy, which, by the way, you're emotionally drained when you're going through a breakup. You're probably physically drained. You just feel exhausted. So you don't want to be using your precious energy on figuring out how to have contact with your ex or if you're going to hear from them. Every time you look at your phone, you don't want to be thinking that you're going to see them. So that's why just cutting it off completely is such a relief in a lot of ways.
No, I love that. And for those of you who have been working with Smart Dating Academy, or many of you have been coached by us and we've had conversations, well, I'm just dating this person until somebody really good comes along. When you are hooked into a person and you're in this situationship or you're dating someone, how free is your mind to actually accept another person who's better for you? It's not.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes into the no contact rule. You can't keep people in play. Like, well, I'm just dating this guy. Yeah, I mean, I hear this all the time, until someone better comes along. Guess what? Why is no one better coming along? Because you can't see them.
Yeah. I hear that all the time. I'm just sleeping with my ex to help with the loneliness until someone new comes along. And I'm sure you would agree with this too, but I just think everyone should be able to experience the gift of being happy single. I just think it's such, especially now being married, having kids, the times, it's just, I just think it makes this time so much sweeter, just knowing that I had that time to myself too. So I just think that's something that there's a freedom in that. There's so much freedom in that. That's what I tell people too. If you can learn how to successfully navigate a breakup, the freedom that you will have in future relationships and in future dating is so much bigger, because you're not going to walk around being terrified of what if they break up with me. You'll know, yeah, I'll be sad, but I do know how to get through it.
Yeah, no, I love that. So let's say you've been broken up with someone for about 6 weeks and the emotions go up, the emotions go down. You know, I mean, number one, I tell people that's to be expected. Grief can come at all sorts of random times, when you hear a song, when you passed by a place that you had a good time together, right? That's all normal. And there's no statute of limitations for when those feelings have to end. Would you agree with that?
Yes. Yeah. For the listener, I'm nodding vigorously.
Vigorously, right. She's like, yes. For you video watchers, you can see that. So let's talk about the getting happy now. I love, we're so in sync with how we see no contact, we're done, it's an addiction, you got to get clean of this person. So now, let's say we're 6 weeks, 8 weeks, what are things that we can do, practical things that can get us back to our happy?
Yeah, I'm a huge advocate of, and I know this sounds, it sounds very simple, but I'm a huge advocate of daily gratitude lists. I've actually been in a group text with five girls for over 4 years now, where every day we send each other five things we're grateful for. And it's just such a beautiful thing. So doing that, you can do it in a journal. You can send it to, I think doing it in a group text is so fun, but just training yourself to look out for the good things that are happening in your life. And it can, and it doesn't have to be these big lofty things. It can be a good cup of coffee. I watched my favorite show. Sometimes TikTok is on my gratitude list, because I'm just grateful for funny videos that can make me happy. So doing things like that. I think there's also going to be an element of, when you look at the relationship that you had, most relationships will bring in things into your life that you really enjoy. I use the example of hiking. My ex introduced me to hiking. I loved it. And I remember when I went through the breakup, I felt like hiking was also taken away from me, because it was this thing that we had. So taking a look at things that you really enjoyed that you did with your ex and forming new experiences around that, it's so empowering. And I I interviewed Di Winch on my podcast, and he talks about making it very like ritualistic. So asking your friends, hey, can we all go on a hike together? Well, then we're going to get brunch after. So making it very special, where maybe you guys at the top of the hike, you know, share something that's been really happy for you in the last year, but just making these really special experiences around something that felt like your ex took away from you. So reclaiming that in certain ways. And that can be the restaurant you and your ex went to, or, you know, anything of that nature, but reclaiming certain things I think is also really important. And, you know, reconnecting with friends that maybe you lost during the relationship, that can happen a lot. So I'm all about reclaiming different things in that regard. And I also tell people you can do things like making a singles bucket list of things you want to do, things that you've always, you know, never thought you could or never thought you would. Doing things like that, trying new things, that's really important. And I'd say the last thing is forming really solid, just daily routines, which again, sounds boring, but I think routine is something I'm so big on during a breakup. So much of your life and your thoughts feel very hijacked from you during a breakup. So having that structure of, I wake up in the morning, I put good music on, I make my favorite coffee, I move my body, things like that. Routine's also really important.
I love that. And eating good foods that nourish you, right? That kind of make you blossom versus just eating the crap. It's okay to eat the crap and eat the ice cream and do the things and the cookies when you're sad and you want to emotionally eat. But at a certain point, you'll probably be like, this is actually making me feel sicker. So nourish your body in between those stints as well.
And cook for yourself. I know a lot of people that when they go through a breakup and they become single, they stop cooking because they're like, I don't want to cook for just me. You're worth cooking a good meal for just you. You can have leftovers for like a couple days, but make good meals for yourself. I just know that's such a common thing that people just stop cooking entirely. You are still worth cooking for, having a good meal, even if it's just for one.
I love that. This has been so amazing. Is there anything that I didn't ask you that you think could be helpful to the listener as they're, you know, taking their walk or washing their dishes or driving to work?
So I think you kind of touched on it, but I just want to elaborate a little bit more on that emotional roller coaster and validating feelings. I think people just get really nervous that they're still sad, even though it's been 3 months, 6 months. Just know that that's okay. Like you said, there's not a statute of limitations on feelings. I also think a lot of people have an unrealistic viewpoint of what it means to be over an ex. They'll say, oh, I still think about them. I still think, I use the example, I still remember the first last name and birthday of my boyfriend that I had in the fifth grade. You know, like we don't forget people like that. Wow. So if you still have thoughts about them, that's okay. So have like a realistic expectation of what it means to be over a breakup instead of believing that they need to be just swiped from your memory. And when it comes to the ups and downs, don't ruin the ups by expecting to feel down again. You might have a day, and it might be not that long after the breakup, where you're like, oh, wow, I feel really happy today, or I haven't thought about my ex. And then you think, oh, God,
I just did.
I just did. Or, oh, maybe this means that I'm not actually feeling my feelings. Or maybe this means like the other shoe's going to drop any second now. So enjoy the ups and then have coping tools for the downs. The downs are going to happen. That's okay. So just know that you're going to have times, like you said, where it hits you in 6 months even, and that's okay. I just don't make your breakup even harder on yourself because you're judging your emotions around it.
100%. And here's a little personal story to this point. I have been married to my husband for 27 years, long time. And when my parents downsized and they actually moved 2 miles away from me, so they live in a great condo, but they had a house in the suburbs. And so we each got these boxes from our bedrooms. that they just had delivered to our house. Here's the Bella boxes. And so one of the boxes had all, it was like a shoe box, kind of like a boot box or something. And it had all these letters and photographs and like little pieces of jewelry and things from the two people I had dated prior to, like, seriously, prior to dating my husband. And I opened the box and I was trying to like figure out, do I want to keep some stuff? Do I like what? And I was trying to go through all this stuff. Like, what do I keep? What do I get rid of? And as I started to go through this stuff, you guys, this many years later, it's like you get the weird tinglies, the weird, like going back to that phase of time. You look at those photos and you feel like you're 19 again, and there's these mixed feelings. So I share this with you. At a certain point, I was like, I'm just throw this damn box away because it's just taking up space for a new pair of boots in my closet. But really, this stuff, to your point, it doesn't go away. Even if we're processed and you're happy and you have a great husband and great kids, when you open up those memories, they're still there like little scars, right? Mm-hmm. I had two children, C-section, scar on my abdomen. Doesn't hurt, but if I run my fingers over the scar, it feels differently than the rest of my body. That's how relationships are.
That's as someone who had a C-section 3 months ago, that is very apropos. That's a very good analogy right now.
And it always feels a little weird, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and my son Max was born 16 years ago, and it's still, it's just like that area just feels like a little wonky. It doesn't hurt, but it's like, bleh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's why some people just feel very hopeless when getting over their breakup, because again, they're setting this unrealistic. And I think a lot of people think it's this big finish line, like you're finishing a marathon and you pass, you're like, oh, I'm done. I'm over it. But yeah. That's not how a breakup is. That's not how you get over someone. You get over someone in all the little things where you go a day without thinking about them. You pass the restaurant you guys had your first date at and you don't cry. You're able to listen to songs that you couldn't listen to right after the breakup. Those are the markers that I like to point people to. And I also encourage people to make sure that you're also looking back on how far you've come in just a couple months or 6 months, instead of focusing on the things that you wish you weren't still sad about.
Yeah. And I know so many people at Smart Dating Academy, to your point, were just blindsided, hit by a truck with a cheating spouse, with, you know, and it's like their whole life vaporizes and it takes not months, but years to recover from that. And they're so courageous and they date anyway. So I love your message of you might never be over it, but you'll be okay to get out there and date and find somebody else.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Kendra, you're amazing. I wish I could jump through the screen and hug you.
Someday.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for doing this. And for people that want to know more about you, tell us. You've got your workbook that I'm going to go buy right now. The Breakup Bestie Workbook. Or is it the Breakup Workbook?
It's just the Breakup Workbook. Yeah, okay. The Breakup Workbook is on Amazon. I have different courses that people can go through depending on what stage of a breakup you're in. I have my podcast, the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast. And the best place to connect is just on Instagram at Your Breakup Bestie. That's where you can find access to all my content, all the new podcast episodes, my website's on there. So would love to connect with all of you.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, we'll definitely have to have a follow-up with you because you're awesome.
Oh, thank you. Well, thank you so much for having me on. And yeah.
Smart daters, I hope this episode resonated with you. Every one of us at some point has been through a breakup. And maybe it's a breakup with sugar, a breakup with alcohol, a breakup with a friend, a breakup with a romantic partner. And sometimes friend breakups can be just as painful, if not more, than a romantic breakup. So I hope that you gleaned some amazing gems from Kendra, who has walked through the tunnel of fire. And I hope that this inspires you that if you're still healing from something, that you can get yourself out there to date. And so I wish you for this week a beautiful spirit and The courage to know that there is a great lid to your pot out there and the journey is totally worth it. So until next week, I bid you farewell. Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love. Follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.